Now, it hasn't been an easy ride for South African businesses over the last few years, with the second half of this year, in fact, posing an extraordinary challenge, what with the worst bout of load shedding in over a decade. Joining us to share insights into some of the top liquidation and business rescue trends is Senior Associate in the Business Rescue Restructuring and Insolvency Practice at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr, Lerotore Mohale. Mr. Mohale, good evening and thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Benicio. Good evening.
So, what is or what has the data revealed, Lerotore, how liquidations and business rescue trends are impacted this year?
So, what the data is telling us, and perhaps let me start off by acknowledging that the data comes from StatsSA. So what they've done historically is that on a month-to-month basis, they publish these stats that tell us how many liquidations have been recorded for the past month. And so we look at a report that shows us liquidations as at July this year. We don't have data post-July. But essentially, we are sitting at a total number of about 1,098 liquidations so far this year for the period January to July 2022. And essentially, Benito, if I can just quickly unpack it for you, we are essentially dealing with a situation where we've got what I call unfavorable economic factors. You know, you've got high inflation and high interest rates and high fuel costs. And so these effectively lead to companies generating less revenue and less profit, and eventually leads to companies effectively getting very close to inability to pay their debts and very close to liabilities exceeding their assets, and effectively leading to consider either to go into liquidation, to go into business rescue, or some other form of restructuring.
1,098 for the first 6 months of this year. In previous years, just by way of comparison, what would that figure look like?
So if you look at last year, for example, 2021, in total, in other words, from January to December 2021, the total was 1,900. I'm just going to use round figures. And in the year 2020, it was just over 2,000. The year 2019, it was just over 2,000. So it does appear a bit worrying, although quite consistent with sort of previous trends, if one can say that.
Yeah, it does seem to, I suppose, in one sense, also just reflect a very challenging operating environment. Would you agree with that? And what would the predictions look like for the rest of the year? I would imagine more or less the same than what we've seen in the first 6 months.
You're quite right. I mean, it's reflecting a fairly consistent picture. Although you know, when you listen to sort of economic experts and so on, they're saying that we actually are only about to now start feeling the real effects of COVID. When companies are actually going to start actually feeling the actual pinch of COVID, when everybody's trying to recover, and those that can recover will recover, and those that can't will actually just shut down in liquidation. But essentially, predictions going forward, one can say, well, one of two things will happen. Either the economy will improve. If a miracle happens, the economy improves, and you know, there's less inflation or lower interest rates. Highly unlikely, but a possibility. If there's improvement in the economy, then one could potentially see less liquidations going up to December this year. Otherwise, if the economy sort of remains where it is now or gets worse, then one could effectively see liquidations exceeding the sort of mental threshold of 2,000 by the end of the year.
Are there certain sectors, Lerotore, that may be under greater pressure than other sectors in terms of the liquidations and business rescue trends?
Yes, there are. There are. I mean, in that number of 1,098 that I gave you earlier, which is now the total number of liquidations from Jan to July this year, two sectors contribute the highest. You've got the real estate sector combined with financial and business services. The statistics sort of lumps them into one. They're sitting at 358. So of the 1,098, you've got 358. That's the highest number in a single sector. And then the second sector is the catering and accommodation sector, and that's where tourism would sit, contributing 228 liquidations this year only. So those are really the two sectors that one should be very careful of, and should be sort of be quite alert about.
Yeah, it seems to confirm an earlier conversation that I had this evening with Rosemary Anderson from Fidasa Lerotori, because she was saying that the hospitality sector in South Africa is under recovery if one compares it to other African countries, other African markets, looking at Tanzania, for example, or Ghana or Kenya. Their recovery rate is significantly higher than South Africa's. If I look at Kenya, for example, the figures quoted as, I think it was just under 19%. This is pre-pandemic, whereas South Africa's looking at under 40%. So there's a big concern there. How then can businesses take proactive steps, do you think, to avoid liquidation and avoid becoming a statistic?
So, I mean, perhaps just to make a comment in relation to this tourism thing, and without sort of claiming to be an expert in tourism, but I think one factor that will always be sort of to our disadvantage is that tourism, I think, in a lot of households, it's viewed as an ultra luxury, and so, you know, if it's like a bit of extra cash available in your disposable income, then you consider a tourism-related activity. And I think that will further be a challenge in our economy. But just coming back to your question, I think there are three very simple things that every company should essentially be doing in order to avoid liquidation. The first one is you want to be realistic about your financial position. Often, managers, CFOs and financial directors will sit there and sort of not accept the real picture of the financial position. You know, they'll use terms such as, no, we're just going through a temporary cash flow issue, when in fact there's a real financial problem facing the company. So you've got to be realistic about your financial position. Secondly, you've got to act early. You know, if you've been waiting for that huge payment from a debtor and it's been month number four, and it seems to not come in, and you're relying on it so that you can pay your next expenses, your expenses for the next couple of months, or pay for trading stock that you need in order to trade for the next couple of months, you've got to act as quickly as possible, take steps to make sure that you recover that money, or you find a sort of a bridging finance early, but you have got to act early. And then lastly, I'd say that you've got to get as close as possible to your creditors and your debtors. What I mean by that is be open to them. Be open to the bank and say, listen, I'm going through this situation. Is there a way in which we can talk about a restructuring of my debt portfolio? Is there a way in which we can your largest debt can sort of pay you upfront as opposed to paying you in 3 months' time? So you've got to just get as close as possible to your creditors and your debtors.
Lerotori Mohale, Senior Associate in the Business Rescue Restructuring and Insolvency Practice at Cliftekker Hofmeyr. Appreciate your time, Mr. Mohale. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Benito.